You can be seated. Mercy is for people that have done that have not done everything right. How many of you know that? Praise God. So really on your worst day, you can come to the throne of grace and obtain. Let's go over there where we've been quoting that in Hebrews. It's been one of the verses we haven't even looked at today. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. You ought to study Hebrews sometime regarding the blood of Jesus. It's just powerful. It'll set you free. It'll build your faith. But Hebrews 4 says in chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession of faith, or our profession, excuse me. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The word cannot be touched with the feeling of. Touched with the feeling of is from, I think it's the one or two Greek words, but it's the exact same word translated compassion or mercy. In fact, if you look through the New Testament, the word compassion is in the New Testament and mercy is in the New Testament. It's the same Greek word. So it's really, when you read the word compassion, you're reading the word mercy, or when you read mercy, he's talking about compassion. It's the same thing. And compassion is a element or an ingredient, you might say, of the divine kind of love. The compassion of God is what he's talking about here. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Let's take the two knots out. We have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus is our high priest. So what we're going through, what we're tested and tried with, and infirmities could be, you know, weaknesses. You look it up, it could include weaknesses, areas where we haven't developed enough spiritually yet to overcome in. He's touched with that. Or he has compassion on us in that. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? I found the book of Revelation talks about God dealing with a situation there in one of the churches. Remember the seven letters to the churches? One of the letters deals with a situation where there was a woman, apparently a minister, who was apparently ministering and spreading wrong doctrine. And it's hard to tell what else was going on. Seems like maybe there was some immorality involved or something. But he was dealing with her, and he said, I gave her space to repent. You've ever read that? It's Revelation 2:21. I gave her space to repent. In other words, he was merciful in that situation and gave her time to get that corrected. Aren't you glad God doesn't, the moment we miss it, aren't you glad he doesn't go, yep, your gig's up, you know? I mean, all of us right now would be crispy critters if God just the first time we made any mistake or did it again and again. Anybody ever done the same thing several times? I'm so glad God gives us the space to get that right. The Bible talks about space to repent. The Bible talks about judgment with mercy. There's things that we could study along that line that are tremendously liberating. But I remember Brother Hagin telling a story one time. He went in to minister healing to a man. Somebody called him, minister healing to a man. And he laid hands on him, and the Lord said, take your hand off of him. He's going to die. And the Lord said, because I think Brother Hagin said, well, why? And the Lord said, I've been waiting on this man for 30 years to judge himself and put away sin. Think of the mercies of God. And Brother Hagin said, I believe this is the same situation. I hope I'm not putting two stories together, but I believe this is the same time the Lord said, this man has never lived right more than 2 weeks at a time, that whole 30 years. He's in a good time, he's in a good place in his spirit right now. This is a good opportunity for him to come on home. I mean, look at that. 30 years the Lord was waiting on that man. Now, what does that mean? In other words, he was under some sort of mercy there for that all that time, to where the Lord was keeping some of these things off of him that really his own sin was calling for to be probably physical sickness like he was in there at the time. Amen. You know, if the Lord dealt with everything immediately, man, there'd be a lot of bzz, 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 you know, everything. That person just died, bzz, you know. But that's not happening. Why? He's long in mercy, the Bible said. Hallelujah. I got faith in the blood of Jesus. And you want to know something else the Bible said? Go to 1 John. Here's something maybe we should share as we go past this right now. The Bible says here in 1 John chapter number 1, verse 5, this is the message we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We were sharing, I believe, yesterday, there's a difference between relationship and fellowship. This is talking about fellowship here. It hinders our fellowship whenever we walk in darkness or walk in sin. But what he's saying here is verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And get this, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Whew. Now here's what that said. If we walk in all the light we have, how many of you know we don't have all the light yet? But whatever light we have, we walk in all the light we have. How many have ever grown some more spiritually and looked back at a place in your life you thought, man, look, at that place in your life, you thought, look at me, I am a humdinger. You know what I mean by that? I'm doing everything. But you grow a little bit, and 3 or 4 or 5 years later, you look back at where you were, and you think, oh, my goodness, dear Lord. God was so merciful to me. Why? Because this verse said, if we're walking in all the light we have, that the blood of Jesus cleanses all that we don't know yet. Whew. Hallelujah. I mean, we walk in all the light we have. There's some mercy there is what he's saying. Sometimes we're walking all the light we have, but we're making big mistakes. But we just don't realize it. That's the reason sometimes I can't do some things that other people can, because they don't have the light that I have. I see what they watch on TV. I see what they do sometimes. I'm like, oh, dear Jesus, I couldn't do that. But see, they can, and they just seem to be enjoying the blessings of God. Why? They don't know any better yet. They might know a little bit, but they don't know enough for God to hold them responsible for it. It's a little like the age of accountability kind of thing, you know. So praise God. But see, I'm not near as concerned about the light I don't have as the light I do have. And the light I do have, I'm going to have to walk in that. Amen. Praise God. Anyway, but let's go back to Romans 3 now. Romans 3:27 says, where is boasting then? We've been referring to that passage. It's done away with by the law of faith. In other words, we looked at verse 25 up there, and he's talking about faith in the blood of Jesus. In other words, faith in the blood does away with all self-boasting. Because we only got what we got because of the blood. Because of the shed blood. Hallelujah. We are, according to Romans 9, 23 and 24, we are vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy. Romans 9, 23 through 24. Hebrews 4:16 says... we didn't finish Hebrews. Let's go back here. Go back to Hebrews. I got so much going, I got to slow down a little bit. We looked here, it says in verse 15, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews 4:15 it is. Then verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Amplified says that we might obtain, that we may receive mercy for our failures. Mercy for our failures. Well, I failed so much. Well, that's what mercy's for. Amen. I'm not preaching to just, we'll just get forgiven later attitude. And I just live any old way I want, just get forgiven later. That's a heart problem. That's a heart issue. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you just, your flesh trips you up, you stumble and you fall into something, but you didn't intend to, you know. And he said that's what mercy is for. And we can come to God and get mercy. There is a place for mercy. There's a place you can get it. It's called the throne of grace. Amen. Mercy is not for people that do everything right, or because really on your worst day you can come and get mercy. Hallelujah. That's something to get happy about, to be honest with you. Hallelujah. So, a lot of us didn't get where we are right now or aren't enjoying what we have right now is not because we've done everything right. Not because we've been real careful, you know. Some of us, it's just because of the mercy of God. Thank God. Praise the Lord. The devil can't stand it when you find out about God's mercy. And you put faith in it. That's what we're preaching this morning, putting faith in it. He can't stand it. Because to be honest with you, it shuts him out. He no longer can hold your faith bondage. Because he's no longer, that accusing voice no longer works anymore and doesn't make your faith shrivel anymore because you got faith in the mercies of God. You ought to just constantly rejoice over the mercies of God. Talk about it all the time. The devil just can't stand it. Amen. Faith really brings you over to total dependence on what Jesus did for you, not what you do. So if you're bragging about what you've done and what you haven't done, then that's when faith will stop producing any of the glory of God. Because your faith isn't in what God did, your faith is in what you did. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to Romans 3:25. There's more here. We've got to speed it up here. We're lagging a little behind. But in the Amplified of Romans 3:25, it says... I'll just quote the Amplified. Remember, let's refer to the King James, and then we'll quote the Amplified. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. The Amplified says, whom God, this is talking about Jesus, God put Jesus forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat. Now that's something the Amplified adds, a mercy seat. And propitiation by his blood. The cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. In other words, the Amplified says through faith, and then King James says through faith in the blood. So the Amplified adds this term, mercy seat. Now, that's something that we read about in the Old Testament, the mercy seat. You got a few minutes, I'll explain some things here to you. The word propitiation, first of all, means to reconcile and restore to favor and to a fellowship with God. So when what restores man to and reconciles him to favor and fellowship with God? It is the propitiation, or it is the blood of Jesus. Or more specifically, let's get specific, faith in the blood. The blood of Jesus has been shed for every man. But it's faith in that blood that enters a man into it. Okay? And you and I have gotten into that through faith in the blood. But guess what? That propitiation is not just a one-time thing. It's for the rest of your life. So as long as you have faith in the blood, that there can be a constant cleansing. There can be, you know, you miss it, you get that under the blood again, now it's as if it never happened again. Aren't you glad? We all need that. Amen. Now, the Bible says that in Exodus 25, let's go back there. This is a very important verse for this study. So I want you to turn to it. We need to mark these things and get them in our notes, mark them in our Bible, put stars and highlights and everything all around it. Underline it. Exodus 25:22. It says there God is speaking to Moses. There, he's talking about Moses building the tabernacle and how to do it and everything. And he's talking about the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. And then over top of that, there was what was called over the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. Now we got to remember, Romans 3:25 says that Jesus' blood is our mercy seat. But let's look at the Old Testament at the type of that. Verse 22, Exodus 25, verse 22. There I will meet with thee, God speaking. I will meet there with thee. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. From between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Now, the Ark of the Covenant had the Ten Commandments in it. It had the Aaron's rod that budded, if I remember right. I think it had manna in there to fit also, I think. But anyway, the Ark of the Covenant was that box God made them make. It was overlaid with gold. And whenever they put that in the Holy of Holies, the glory of God came down, and manifest presence of God was manifest in that Holy of Holies over the Ark of the Covenant. That was where God's presence on earth was at the time. All right? That's the Old Testament. Now, I know we're in the New Testament now, but I'm just referring to the Old Testament. So God said there, in this verse, there I will commune with you from above the mercy seat. In other words, my presence will be there. And it was. It was there in a cloud. Actually, it came. There was a pillar of cloud over the temple, and it came down into the Holy of Holies. Well, this was the tabernacle. It's true about the temple, too. But it came down into the Holy of Holies. God's manifest presence was there, and God said, that's where I will commune with you. That's where I will fellowship with you. All right? Now, we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Can you hold with me while we get a little doctrinal here? We got to lay some doctrine, some real good, solid doctrine. Hebrews 9, we read in chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, meaning the outer tabernacle. But into the second, that's the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood. Get that? Not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. It was a type, and you can read on down through there. And then it goes on down through there, and it says in verse number 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats, that's what they went into the Holy of Holies with once every year. He just referred to that. The high priest took that blood in there. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? All right, so what he's talking about is the Old Testament was a type. The Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat where the presence of God was a type of what we have today. Now, the high priest went into that Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. This is all types and shadows. He went in there every year, once a year, and he took blood in there. He took the blood of animals. And he sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. All right? Are you still with me? Leviticus 16:14 talks about it. You can write that down. Leviticus 16:14. And we just read it in Hebrews. Paul mentioned it again. But in those passages, we see where the high priest went in, and he went in with blood. And he had to go in there with the blood. He couldn't go in there without blood. He said in the King James, in the Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, not without blood. In other words, don't go in there without blood. Because the Bible makes it plain it was dangerous to go in there without blood. Now, it doesn't say it that I know of in the Bible, but historians tell us they had a rope tied around their ankle just in case they'd pull them out of there in case they fell dead. That's why it was important, because the blood was a symbol of this coming blood, shed blood of Christ. And that is where the remission of sin is. In the Old Testament, it wasn't remitted, it was just covered. Amen. Now, are you still with me? Because we're bringing this all home right now. All right, so what are we saying? What we're saying is that when God said in Exodus 25:22, there I will commune with you, there I will meet with you, he's saying, I only meet with people over blood. Because that's where the blood of, when it refers here to this mercy seat, the blood was put on there once a year. So the presence of God was in there, and God said, I will meet with you. You can come into my presence, but only over blood. Only over blood. It was the Old Testament blood was a type of the coming Messiah, the shed blood of Christ. And today, Romans 3 says that Jesus and faith in his blood is our mercy seat. Our mercy seat. Now, in the Old Testament, the mercy seat was a geographical location. Only in that tabernacle, and then, of course, the temple later, but the tabernacle was a portable tent, just in the same design as the temple, pretty much. And they would go in there and offer that blood, and God said, I'll meet you over blood. If you want to have a meeting with me, don't think you can do it without blood. Amen. People on TV sometimes, psychics, people like that, they say, we talk to God. No, you don't. You think you do, but you're talking to another spirit. You will not meet with God unless you do it over the blood of Jesus. God said that in the Old Testament, it was in this geographical location. It was in this place called the temple, the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat where the blood was applied. His presence was there, and he said, I'll meet with you over that. In the New Testament, it's not a geographical location. It's anywhere there's faith in the blood. You don't have to go to somewhere in Jerusalem. Amen. You don't have to be in the church building. You don't have to be, it's where you put faith in the blood. People have put faith in the blood on the bar stool. Dr. Dufresne did that. Well, actually, he did go to church then. But remember, there's people that put faith in the blood anywhere. As soon as they put faith in the blood, then God has a meeting with them. In other words, God's saying, if you want to meet with me, I'll do it over blood. Why? Why? Because the blood is our righteousness. It is where our remission of sin is, according to those verses. I'll meet with you over the blood. And the blood, let's go now to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews 12 says this in verse, I believe it's verse 24. Let me get over here. Hebrews 12 says, verse 24, and Jesus, the mediator, we've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. Now, we're going to talk about that. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood. We've come to the blood of Jesus is what he's talking about. The mediator of the new covenant, and to his blood that is sprinkled, that speaks better things than that of Abel's. Well, now what he's saying here is the blood speaks. You remember when Cain killed Abel, God said to him, where's your brother? I don't know, he said, I'm not my brother's keeper. And he said, God said, well, your brother's blood is crying to me out of the ground. You remember that? Blood speaks. Abel's blood was talking to God. Somebody said, well, I wonder what it was saying. Well, this verse said that the blood of Jesus speaks something better than Abel's. Let's think about it. What did Abel's blood call out for? What did Abel's blood say? I believe it said, an injustice has been done. My blood was shed unjustly. And guilt, it speaks of the guilt of the one who shed it. And it calls for judgment. Sin calls for penalty. Amen. That's what Abel's blood. Remember, God actually put a mark on him so that nobody would kill him. Remember that? In other words, that sin called for a penalty. Called for his own death. Cain's death. Called for judgment. Called for a penalty. Isn't that right? Well, thank God. The Bible here says Jesus' blood speaks of something better than that. You know what it calls for? We just read it over in Hebrews. It's a mercy seat. What's it calling out for? It's calling out for mercy. You read Hebrews closely, and Jesus ascended up to heaven when he was raised from the dead, after he's crucified and shed his blood. He ascended up to heaven, and he took his blood into the heavenly Holy of Holies. See, the priest did it down here on the earth in the earthly Holy of Holies. But whenever Jesus was crucified, that veil in the temple split from the top to the bottom. And God's presence moved out. In other words, God said, it's now open house. You don't have to come in here. Now you come to the throne of grace. And Jesus went and put his blood up there. And that blood before God constantly is before God. And God lives in view of the blood constantly. And constantly that blood is speaking. And it's saying something to God. What's it saying? It speaks of mercy over us. Anyone who comes with faith in that blood has an instant access to God. because that blood speaks of mercy for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. But it's just not the blood that is our mercy seat. It's the faith that we put in the blood. I got faith in the blood. How about you? So because of the blood, we have a meeting with God. Somebody say, how is it that you talk to God? And you say, not without blood. Not without blood. That's what Hebrews said there. We read it in the 9th chapter. Not without blood. I have to come through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's my righteousness. Whew, glory to God. I draw near through faith in His blood. Hebrews 10. Let's go over there. We read it. We read some in chapter 9. Let's look at chapter 10. Let's look at starting in verse 16. I'm getting stirred up. This is what gives us a spirit of faith. This is what causes us to be bold and come right into the presence of God. I said to you, one of the ingredients in the spirit of faith, or one of the characteristics of the spirit of faith, is boldness. Let's look at what this passage says. 10th chapter of Hebrews, the 16th verse. This is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I'll remind them of every day. No. Will I remember no more? Woo, glory. Somebody said, I remember you did that. And you say, well, God forgot it. God forgot it. Now, where remission of these is. Now, that's different than the Old Testament. They just had the blood, had their sin covered in the Old Testament. But here he said, where remission of these is. That means the record is expunged. That means it doesn't even exist on the records anymore. You can commit a crime in the United States of America and that'll go on your record. That'll be on your record forever unless something happens to expunge the record. Wipe it out. Once it's wiped out, it's as if it never existed. What God didn't, God, we do not just have forgiveness in the New Testament. We have forgiveness, but we have remission of our sins. They don't even exist anymore. The record has been expunged. Where remission of these is, these sins, there's no more offering for sins. No more offering, including your penance. Including, listen, doing without to prove that I'm really sorry. We do that. Well, I'll just do without, you know, because I'm not worthy. That's a penance. And the Bible here says there's no more offering for sin. Amen. Now, look at verse number 18. Having therefore, because of what he just said, because of that remission, because of no more offering, because thy sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Notice what that does to your faith. Notice what righteousness consciousness does to your faith. Notice what no sense of guilt does to your faith. Notice what a sense of worthiness does to your faith. It gives us boldness to enter into the holiest, to enter in the holy presence of God by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah! How do you come in? Not without the blood of Jesus. Not without faith in the blood. By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us, through the veil that is the flesh, His flesh, excuse me. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. That means a heart that is sure. And full assurance of faith. Whew. I'm getting so blessed, I don't know. I might fly home without the plane today. I don't know. Hallelujah. I got access to God. Whew. Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Hallelujah. Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You might want to draw a line up to a place where you can write this and beside this verse and say, guilty. Conscience. having a heart sprinkled from a guilty conscience. In other words, no more sense of guilt. You remember it said over there in the 9th chapter we were reading when we went by, it didn't stop to make mention of it, but it said, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more? The blood of Jesus does so much more than the blood of animals. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience? Purge, it goes all the way down in there and cleans up all that sense of guilt. Now, any sense of guilt that comes from the devil is from the outside, not in here. He's the accuser of the brethren. We read it in Revelation. He comes out here, yakety yak, yak. You're not worthy. You've missed it so many times. You failed. You're guilty. God's not going to bless you. You're going to have to do without. You're not going to get healed this time. You know how you failed. You know how he does it. How are you going to overcome that? You're going to have to do it with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is a weapon. The blood of faith in the blood is a weapon. You can say, I overcome you by faith in the blood. The blood purges me of all sense of guilt, shame, unworthiness, you know, all that stuff that Satan tries to bind people up with. Hallelujah. Your faith will flow at flood tide when you walk in a sense of righteousness. Hallelujah. You have no sense that God will not move on your behalf. No sense of that whatsoever. Because you're right before him. And you're worthy to come and receive. Hallelujah. So let's keep reading. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil, or that's a guilty conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So in other words, hold fast to your confession, I'm worthy through the blood. Amen. Any situation you're facing that the redemptive blood covers, learn to say, I plead the blood. Amen. The blood of Jesus. I call on the mercies of God in this situation because of my faith in the blood. Amen. The word propitiation means reconcile you to favor and fellowship and favor with God, in other words. Praise God. So favor means that he'll do this for me. That's what that means. Favor means he'll do this for me. Amen. I mean, God's just on my side. God is on my side. The blood has been applied. The devil's been denied. And I'm going to thrive. Amen. So what God's saying in Exodus 25, I'll meet with you there from above the mercy seat. Now, look at, we read it, you don't have to turn there, but again, in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, he said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So the mercy seat, coming to the throne of grace, that's the what would have been the judgment seat is now the mercy seat because the blood is there. You think about that. The blood turned it from a judgment seat into a mercy seat. So when we go, we get mercy. If it hadn't been for the blood, we'd go into the presence of God, you know. Because God's holy. You know, people today, they're preaching grace, and grace is true. The Bible preaches grace. But they preach love, and love is true. God is love. But see, what people don't understand is God is holy. God is holy. And so there needs to come into his presence. Psalm says, who will approach him in his holy hill, and so forth and so on. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. And so to get into the presence of God, you have to be holy. Well, in our own good works, we're not. But thank God for the blood. You can get it all under the blood. Get right into his presence. Am I preaching all right? But notice the Hebrews 4 there, 16, says, let us come boldly through the throne of grace that we might obtain. That place is not only a place of cleansing, it's a place of obtaining. It's a place of getting. It's a getting place. I know a preacher. I don't know him personally, but I know of him. He's a great blessing. He said that his mother, you know, previous generations, sometimes they didn't want to talk about where they bought their clothes. They find some nice clothes, and they didn't want to tell them they bought it at some nice place. Somebody might accuse them of spending too much money or something, you know, that kind of thinking in that generation. And so she said, rather than say, because somebody would say, "Wow, you look nice today. That's a pretty dress. Where'd you get that?" She didn't want to ever tell him, so she'd always tell him, "I just got it at the getting place." Well, whenever you need something, you have a getting place. It's called the throne of grace. Praise God, I got a getting place. I got a getting place. Praise God. Now, in the Old Testament, where their sins were covered, it sanctified them to the purifying of their flesh, Hebrews 9:13. But in the New Testament, we come into the Holy of Holies and present our faith in the blood, and our sins are remitted. That blood speaks of the remission of our sin, and it purges our conscience. Amen. So when we go to God through the blood, we find access to Him. We get access to Him. We have a meeting place with Him. And we have a place we can obtain. It's a place that has made us able and worthy to receive. And we need to go with a confession of our faith in the blood. That's one of the ways you can get into the presence of God. Just start thanking God for the blood. Thank you, Father. I plead blood. I speak the blood is speaking of better things over me than Abel's blood. It speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of my word. I'm worthy to come into your presence right now. That faith, that confession of your faith in the blood will bring you right into the presence of God. Right into the throne of grace. I had an experience in the hotel. I did not plan on talking about this last night. But I had an experience. I finished listening to Pastor Nancy preaching up in Fireball. And I turned it off. She was talking about fellowship. Oh, it was so good. And I turned it off, and I just said, "I'm just going to fellowship with Him right now." And I just started fellowshipping with God. And I saw in the Spirit, I saw something I had never seen before. I saw myself coming into the throne of grace, and I saw angels lined on both sides, and I came in boldly to the throne of grace. And I saw the angels marveling at how bold I could come. They were standing there in awe that one of the redeemed, one of the ones that God picked, had mercy on and chose, could come, and that had been so unworthy in the past, they could come right into the throne of grace. And they formed a line on both sides of me as I came in, and I bowed one knee before the throne of grace and bowed my head. And I saw the whole thing in the Spirit. And the thing that stood out to me was the angels were in awe of that. Because they knew that I could only come there through that blood. And they were in awe at that blood. Hallelujah. 1 Peter says the angels desire to look into these things that we walk in. Praise God. We can go to the highest place of in the universe. The highest authority in the universe. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, let's begin to commence to think about starting to wrap this up. So we go in with a confession of our faith in the blood. Really, I think what those angels marveled was the boldness I could come in with. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was rent in the temple. You remember the Bible makes mention of the veil rending. And it rent from the top to the bottom. It came from so no man did that. God did that. Amen. So God basically was saying, no longer are people held out. They can all come in now through faith in the blood of Jesus. It's open house, so to speak. Now, look at Hebrews 10:19 here. We're right here. Look what it says there. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It tells us that we have boldness to enter in through the blood. One translation says in this verse that we have freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. That's the Rotherham translation, the Rotherham emphasized translation. In the holy place, freedom of speech in the holy place. So when it comes to access to the presence of God, we're given freedom to speak words of faith based on what God said in His Word. We don't have to cower in fear or shame in approaching the throne of God. We can come boldly into the Father's presence. We know that the blood that gives us that kind of confidence to speak in faith. The word redemption means ransom or delivered or freedom through a payment of a price. You ever heard of a, you know, situation where somebody holds somebody ransom? Well, they're trying to get somebody to pay a price to get that person set, for them to release that person. That's what the word redemption means. It means to ransom or to free or deliver by paying a price. So Jesus not only purchased our freedom, because how many of you know Jesus' blood paid the price for our redemption? But Jesus' blood not only purchased our freedom from Satan, because we used to be under his, you know, he used to be our tyrant master that ruled over us. But Jesus' blood purchased our freedom from Satan, didn't it? But not only did it purchase our freedom from Satan, but it purchased our freedom of speech at the throne of grace. In the presence of God. Amen. Not only are you recognized there, not only are you accepted there, but what you say there is accepted. What you say there is accepted. Hallelujah. You might look like a little bit of nobody as far as this society is concerned, but when you come to the throne of grace, God accepts you and said, I accept what you say. What are you going to say? And when you and I make declarations and claim our rights and our privileges based on the covenant, God accepts what we say. And said, all right, according to Go to Hebrews 7:22. According to Hebrews 7:22, look there. Hebrews 7:22 says that by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. The word surety means a guarantee. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father to guarantee all the terms and provisions of the New Testament. That's what he's there doing. He is the high priest. Remember Hebrews 3:1. He is the apostle and high priest of what? Our confession. He's the apostle and high priest of what we say. He's talking about what we say at the throne of grace. We can come, bring the terms and the provisions stated in the New Testament. Bring that to the throne of grace. And Jesus said, I watch over the word to perform it. That's how it says it in Jeremiah in the Old Testament. He watches over. King James says he hastens his word. It means to watch over to perform it. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father today. People think, well, he went to heaven. What's he doing? He has a ministry. He's there as our high priest. He's there to assure us of access through his blood. And also, when we make claims on the terms and provisions of this New Testament, when we come to the throne and make our claim on those terms, because listen, this is the new covenant. Covenant was sworn in blood. This is not just words, they're words sworn in blood. When God made covenant with Abraham, he said, cut an animal in half, split it, and then he said he walked between the animals swearing an oath. He's walking in blood because those animals' blood had just been shed right there on that ground. He's swearing in blood. Surely blessing, I'll bless thee, and so forth and so on. I make a covenant with thee. He's swearing something in blood. And Jesus, these terms of the New Testament have been sworn in blood. They are sworn in. Every one of these promises has blood on it. Amen. You need to see this is blood-bought promises that when you come to the throne of grace, you are accepted there to make your claim of faith. Thank God. Thank God. This is not something God can decide if He wants to do or not. He's already sworn it in the blood of Jesus. And he has bound Himself with His own word. And so whenever we go and we bring the terms of the covenant, see, don't come and talk about how what you've done and how good you are. Come and say, this is what you did for me, Jesus. This is what your blood did for me, Jesus. Your blood made me worthy. Your word, your blood speaks of something better. It speaks of my redemption. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. I'm redeemed from the curse of poverty. I'm redeemed, and your blood is what makes me redeemed. And so therefore, I come bringing the word. I come bringing the word. And Jesus raps the gavel and said, I'm seated to make sure all the terms and provisions of the covenant be it unto you according to your word. And we worship Him and bow the knee and bow our heads and give Him praise and glory and honor, and we go away having obtained. Because it's our getting place. I said, it's our getting place. Praise be to God. The blood is right there speaking the whole time, saying they're worthy to make this claim. They're worthy to make this claim. Woo! Thank God. Thank God. I said, thank God. That's why we enter in through blood. We come in through blood. And it gives us our freedom of speech. We can speak up. We can speak up. Amen. So the redemption means deliverance by paying a price. But something else was delivered. That was our right to speak up. We now have the right to speak up at the throne of grace. We have rights there. The Spirit of God spoke to me a number of years ago and said to me, there is further revelation coming to the body of Christ concerning the authority of the believer. And I'm just right now getting over into the edge of it. It's not just authority over the devil, but our authority at the throne of grace. He has dignified us to come in with His word at the throne of grace and make our claim. The devil can't defeat us. Now, you remember the book of Revelation. The Bible said that he accuses us, Satan, accuses us before our God day and night. Notice that. Notice he didn't just say he accuses us throughout the day. Day and night means, you know, all the time. But he accuses us before our God. Before, in other words, when you go to the throne of grace, there's going to be a voice saying, you're not worthy, you're not worthy. You're not worthy to enter in here. He, when you go to the throne of grace, he tries to go too. Yeah. And he tries to tell you, no, you can't, you're not worthy. You know how much, you know how often you've missed it. How are you going to overcome that? Only one way, through the blood. That's right. It's through faith in the blood. Yeah. And through confession of your faith in the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So whenever that yakety yak yak is trying to keep you out of your prayer time, you say, I have faith in the blood. Father, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Satan says, I remember you did this, and then you say, shut up. That's under the blood. And you answer that with the blood, with faith in the blood of Jesus. And you just keep on speaking up. Because that's the right God gave you at the throne of grace. Not only are you recognized and accepted there, but like I said, what you say is recognized and accepted there. Now, go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Like I said, we're quickly running out of time here. But notice something that it says here in chapter 11. This is the great hall of fame of faith, right? Let's look at verse 28. Through faith, Moses is he, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Notice, through faith, or we would say, through faith, Moses sprinkled blood. Can you see that? Now, this term, sprinkling of blood, is mentioned throughout the book of Hebrews, actually. Actually, it's in 1 Peter as well. But go to let me just say it's referred to in Hebrews 9 a couple times, Hebrews 10. It's referred to in 1 Peter 1, 2. But every time it uses this term, sprinkling of blood. You still with me? The sprinkling of blood happened whenever when the children of Israel were remember the plagues, the 10 plagues were coming, and the children of Israel in Goshen were protected from the plagues. The last one was the death of the firstborn, and God said, shed the blood of an animal, a lamb, and apply the blood on the doorpost of the house, and then stay in that house. Tonight, stay in that house, because the death angel, that's the spirit of death is what it is going through the land tonight, and all the firstborn is going to be destroyed, of Egypt's firstborn. But he said, if you'll stay under that blood that was applied with hyssop, that was a bush, sort of like a tumbleweed kind of thing around here. It was a kind of a bushy bush kind of thing. And they would get a stem of that, stick it in the blood, and then they would apply it to the doorposts of their house. And when Moses, let's go back here to, you're in Hebrews, where are you? Hebrews 11. It says Moses applied, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. That's referring to them putting it on the doorpost. Now come back to the 9th chapter here. I'm going to show you this too. I think this is necessary to look at. Look at Hebrews 9, verse number 13. The blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean. We're looking at that word sprinkle. Look down at verse number 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept of all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled. Circle that word, sprinkled. Sprinkled both the book of the both the book and the all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled. Circle sprinkled with blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and with almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. All right. Now, that's also in Hebrews 10:22, 1 Peter 1:2, and I don't want to take the time to look at them all, but I want you to see that term that he kept mentioning, sprinkling it. Now, you might say, what on earth is, why is that important? Well, hold on. Notice in the one that we're most familiar with, is the time they sprinkled blood with that hyssop on the doorpost back there when the Passover took place. We're familiar with that one. They applied to sprinkle blood, you had to shed an animal's blood, but then they had to apply the blood that was shed. The reason he keeps talking about sprinkling of blood is he keeps saying, what he's referring to is, it's not enough that the blood is shed. When an animal's blood is shed, he's saying, then it needs to be applied. Sprinkling means applying it. Did you get that? Now, when an animal's blood was shed, when they killed a lamb back there on the day of Passover, God didn't say, just kill the animal's blood and leave it lay there on the ground. He said, sprinkle it where you want to be protected, where you want to stay in and be protected. What he's saying is, it's not enough for the animal's blood to be shed, it has to be applied. How is it applied? We read it in Hebrews 11:28. Through faith, Moses sprinkled the blood. You could say, Moses had faith to apply the blood. Does that make sense? So it's not enough, in our case, it's not enough that Jesus' blood was shed. People today is preaching the extreme grace message. They're saying, well, you know, Jesus' blood was shed for everybody. That's not enough. It's faith in that blood. I just corrected a doctrine right there, whether you run it. It's faith in that blood. People are almost saying everybody's going to heaven today because Jesus, you know, shed his blood for everybody. Sure he did, but it's not enough that it was shed. It has to be applied. How do you apply it? By faith. And guess what? According to the book of Exodus, where they on the day of Passover, where they sprinkled the blood on the doorpost and were protected, that blood that was applied to something other than the remission of their sin. That blood was applied to their physical temporal lives to keep them alive physically that night. Amen. So what am I saying? Anywhere the blood is applied, in other words, the blood can be applied to more areas than just one. Amen? It can be applied anything that the blood speaks of your redemption, because the blood speaks. But the blood doesn't just speak of your remission of sin. It also speaks of your healing. The blood was shed for our healing. The blood was shed for our soundness of mind. Redemption doesn't just cover one area of our life. It covers our entire life. But we must not just apply the blood to one area. Not just the remission of our sin, but apply the blood to everything that it speaks redemption over. God's blood is speaking, but we must speak over every area that it speaks over. Amen. If it speaks of our healing, we must say, because of the blood of Jesus, I have the mercy of healing. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's what it's saying in Revelation 11, verse 12, whatever it is there. They overcame not just by the blood. It didn't say there, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, period. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is that? That's applying that blood through speaking the word. Through speaking what that blood has done for them. Through speaking redemption. Hallelujah. So speak up. That's what he's saying. You're right. You have the right now to speak up and declare what that blood has done for you. Is that shouting ground or not? Hallelujah. The devil speaks accusing things to us. The blood speaks of redemption and remission of sins. But it speaks not only of the remission of sins, but it speaks of our right to have all the blessings that were lost because of sin. We were not only redeemed from something, we're redeemed back to something. We're redeemed back to all that was lost because of our sin. All the rights and privileges that a man without sin is worthy of. Hallelujah. So be bold. Be bold. And speak often. And speak of that blood in every area of your life that redemption covers. It covers your safety, your physical protection. Amen. If you're on a highway and you're about to see an accident's about to happen right in front of you, I plead the blood. What does that say? You're saying, I have faith that the blood has redeemed me from destruction. Physical destruction of my life is not a part of my covenant. And you just bowed the knee at the throne of grace and said, I claim my right of exemption from premature physical death. Hallelujah. Plead the blood. It speaks, if you study this carefully, which we don't have time to now, but the blood speaks of righteousness. It speaks of victory. It speaks of fearlessness in the presence of God. It speaks of your boldness in the presence of God. It speaks of joy. It speaks of freedom from depression. It speaks of healing. It speaks of freedom from your past. It speaks of no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No more guilt. No more shame. Hallelujah. The blood can be applied to any area that your redemption covers. Hallelujah. Praise God. In these last days, in the last days here before Jesus comes, the Bible says in Luke 21, these last days will be like in the days of Noah. They're going to also be like the days of Egypt, to look at other verses. Remember, there was great plagues in Egypt, but in Goshen, there were no plagues. In these last days, there is going to be, as this time moves forward in these last days, there is going to be like it was in the days of Noah and like it was in the days of Egypt. There'll be great calamities, earthquakes, all kinds of trouble out there. Remember Noah, the flood and all that. Wars, pestilences, all these things are mentioned. But preachers that preach in the end times, sometimes that's all they talk about. Well, in the last days, this is going to happen, all that and all that. Well, you need to preach, if you're going into the ministry, preach not only what will happen in the world out there in these last days, preach what will be happening in the church in the last days. Because there will be a great difference in these last days between what's happening out there and what's happening in here. A great notable difference. Just like there were plagues in Egypt, in Goshen there was no when there was dark in Egypt, no darkness in Goshen. When there was plagues out there, lice and flies and all the plagues out there, it wasn't in Egypt. It wasn't in Goshen. So there'll be a great difference. Just like Noah was safe in the ark while everybody else was drowning, there's going to be a great difference. What happens in the church in these last days and what happens out there in the world. We're talking about because of the protection of the blood. We must have much great faith in the protection of the power of the blood in these last days and stay under that blood through constantly confessing, I'm kept by the power of God through faith in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm going to stay under the mercies of God. And what's happening to them doesn't belong to me. 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come nigh me. I'm just going to see it with my eyes because it's happening to them, but not me. I'm exempt. Claim your exemption. You're filing your taxes now or soon or whatever, and you're claiming certain exemptions. Isn't that right? Well, make your claim of exemption of all that's happening out there. It doesn't belong to me. I'm exempt from that. Praise God. And so the blood, when it's applied, will keep you underneath the protective care of God. When the blood's applied and God is on your side, Satan will be denied and you can just thrive. Hallelujah. God just loves faith in the blood. I like to say we were down in, Dr. Dufresne went down to Brazil and we traveled with him. He and Pastor Nancy actually went twice, I believe we went down there with him. And the minister down there, he's now in heaven, but he said, he made a statement when we were down here. He's just an old southern country boy, and I can identify with country people. He said, he came out of the Dr. Dufresne's service, and he said, that minister came out and sat down in the back room where we all were and said, that just cranked my tractor. That just cranked my tractor. And Dr. Dufresne said, yep, faith does that. It cranks my tractor too. And then he said, it also cranks God's tractor. Yeah. Now, if you don't know what that means, let me explain. You know, today we start our car or something with a key, or now we push a button, you know. And that kicks in a starter that, you know, turns the engine over and starts. But it didn't used to be that way. You couldn't start a car or a tractor in this case with a key. Back then, you had to crank it. There was a crank on the front of it. There was no electronic starters. You had to crank it yourself. In other words, you had to crank it to get it started, get it going. And that's what that means, crank my tractor. Now you understand. Even the city folk know now. Amen? And I'll tell you what, this faith in the blood cranks God's tractor. I mean, it just gets him. He runs towards people claiming, you know, mercy because of the blood. Just like Jesus stopped right there and said, who called for mercy on the blood? Amen. Let's shout about it. Come on, let's stand up. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for mercy. Thank you, Father. I thank you today. There's